Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly, and even now, while we are placed among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those that shall endure. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Jeremiah. It was the Lord who made it known to me, and I knew. Then you showed me their evil deeds. But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter, and I did not know it was against me that they devised schemes, saying, "Let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, so that his name will no longer be remembered." But you, O Lord of hosts, who judge righteously, who try the heart and the mind, let me see your retribution upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. The word of the Lord. Psalm 54 is to be read in unison. Save me, O God, by your name. In your might, defend my cause. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For the arrogant have risen up against me, and the ruthless have sought my life. Those who have no regard for God. Behold, God is my helper. It is the Lord who sustains my life. Render evil to those who spy on me. In your righteousness, destroy them. I will offer you a freewill sacrifice and praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For you have rescued me from every trouble, and my eye has seen the ruin of my foes.
Thank you. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus knew that he was going to die. He knew that he was going to be betrayed. He knew that he was going to be murdered, and that on the third day he would rise again. Most of us Christians ponder the pain that Jesus went through on the cross, which was unimaginable, but rarely do we think about what he went through before he died. What it was like for him to know how he was going to die, and to know that he was walking towards his death. How would you feel if you knew how you were going to die? How would you feel if you knew that you only had a certain amount of time left? I know that Jesus was afraid. I know he was afraid in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night before he died. But he must have also been afraid long before that. How could he not have been? In today's gospel, Jesus is so clear with the disciples. He tells them exactly how he's going to die, and he's only halfway through his ministry. He says it clearly and simply. The Son of Man will be betrayed, he will be killed, and on the third day, he will rise again. I think Jesus just wanted some company, someone who could share this burden with him. But the disciples react to this news in the strangest way. It says in the gospel that they don't understand him, but that they're too afraid to ask. Too afraid to ask. Are these the disciples that bother him all the time? That get him to explain every single parable? They're too afraid to ask him when he tells them exactly how he's going to die? You know, I think maybe the disciples just couldn't hear him because it was too scary. They got so scared that they left Jesus alone to bear the burden of his future by himself. What do we do when we get scared? When I was in nursery school, my parents went through a really hard time in their marriage and they were fighting a lot. And I was too little to ask them what was happening, and I was scared. So I would go to nursery school, and then I would hide in my cubby. I actually remember my cubby. It was pretty cool. I could bring my stuffed animal in there with me. There was my lunchbox. And I knew my world. It was a small world, but it felt safe. So I started hiding in there. And I think that's what we do, no matter how old we are. When we get scared, we hide. We make our world very small. We live in a cubbyhole world that is mostly about ourselves because not a lot else will fit in there, right? So if you're thinking a lot about yourself and how you're doing and what you're doing and whether people like you or not, and that's what you're thinking about, you're living in a cubbyhole world. And you're probably scared. That's just what the disciples do in the gospel. After Jesus tells them how he's going to die, what do they end up talking about? They end up arguing about which one of them is better than the other one. Their little group of 12. You know, who should be first in line? Is it Peter or James, John, maybe Andrew? All they can think about is their little cubbyhole with the 12 of them and which one gets to be first or second or third. That's how they dealt with their fear, by making their world small. Do you remember in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve eat the fruit and they wake up, they realize they're naked, they experience two things, fear and shame. And what do? They hide. And there's this sad scene where God is walking around in paradise, calling out to them, "Where are you? Where have you gone?" Because that's what we do to God when we get afraid. We run away from God. We hide and we leave God alone. And it prevents us from being fully alive. Because who we are created to be is co-creators with God. Jesus wants us out there with him, not in our little cubbyhole worlds with our cubbyhole thinking and our cubbyhole reality. But we're too afraid to break free. This fall, we're going to be talking about confronting our fears, which is so important. I really think that as Christians, every single one of us should have a spiritual practice where we do something every day that scares us. Did you know that the words, "Do not be afraid," are present in the Bible 365 times? Do not be afraid. God tells us that over and over and over again. And every time an angel shows up, what does the angel have to say? Don't be afraid, because our first instinct is to be scared and run away and hide. And then we can't hear what the angel had to say. So this summer, I decided I was going to do some things to prepare for our fall season of fearlessness. And I did two things. You'd be proud of me. This cubbyhole girl is breaking out of that reality. I decided that the first thing I was going to do is I went whitewater rafting with my boys, and they dared me to climb up a cliff and jump 15 feet into the moving river. And I did it. Thank you. The second part was even more fun. The first part was really terrifying. I thought I was going to die, but I felt great afterwards. The second thing that I did was really fun. We were on the ocean and we rented jet skis. And Max had to ride behind me, and Jacob, who's bigger, rode behind JD. But Max was really mad and in a bad mood because he said, "I have to ride behind Mom and she's going to be totally slow and boring. And Dad's going to be racing through the waves and Mom's going to be chugging along. It's no fair that I get to ride behind Mom instead of Dad." So we get on the jet skis and something happened to me. I think I went insane a little bit. I started screaming, and I went so fast I beat JD. Just ask him. And Max said he had a great time. When we face our fears, we become fully alive. We stop running and hiding from God. And God wants you to be generous, to serve God in ways that scare you, in ways that confront everything that holds you back, to break out of this small world of yourself and become big. That's my prayer for all of us at the cathedral this fall, that we face our fears and move beyond them, to work with God in this incredible world that God has made. Amen.
Please stand as we reaffirm our faith through the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, we live in a frightening world. You promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. Hear us now as we pray to you. For the peace of the whole world, that nations and peoples may come to understand and respect one another, we pray especially for an end to the violence in the Middle East and on the streets of our own cities. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the poor, the sick, the lonely, and those who are grieving, that they may find comfort and solace in your presence, I invite you to speak aloud the names of those in need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For this community, that we may boldly serve you without fear, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the city of Jacksonville, that your Holy Spirit may inspire us to revitalize the urban core, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the earth, that we may use its fruits to your glory and for the good of all creation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For all who have died, that they may see you face to face, we remember especially Mary Ann Smith. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who have died. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the courage to face our own limitations, faults, and failings, and for the gift of your grace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord Jesus, thank you for teaching us through your death and resurrection that our fear is not the end, but simply your invitation to move out of our smallness and into your fullness. Receive these prayers and grant us rest in your grace, knowing that you and your power is beyond our understanding and comprehension. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the cathedral. We're so glad you're here. Great to see you. If you're new or visiting and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a gift. But you have to hold your hand up so they can find you. We're so glad you're here. Keep your hand up until your gift comes, and they'll bring it to you. Welcome, welcome. So this is the wall of fear. And as many of you know, in the fall, we have a 6-week pledge season.
And what we're going to do is every time two families pledge, we're going to pull off a brick. So I asked the vestry to pledge so we could pull some off today. We can pull off 10. You want to help me, David? You want to help me, Ted? That's two.
Two.
So we're going to pull down the wall of fear. And I want to encourage you, my husband JD and I, we give 10% of our income to the church, and it still terrifies me. Give as much as you feel is pushing you to be a little nervous, whatever that may be. There are pledge cards in your pews. There's also, you can go online and pledge. It's very easy on our website. But I encourage you all to do that. And we're going to put these bricks of fear on the altar and give them to God. And slowly, a beautiful collage of this cathedral's people and ministries is going to be uncovered as we break down the wall of fear. And if we break down the entire wall, we'll have done more in pledges than we did last year. So that's our goal. I promised you that we would be going on a bell fast because we're going to be repairing our bells, but the big crane, there are only a few, I guess, in the nation, that was going to lift our entire bell frame off and put it on the ground got stuck in Richmond, Virginia. So the bells will be coming down on Thursday. Is that right, Tim? This Thursday. So if you want to come and see these tons of bells coming down, it should be an incredible sight. We'll then be restoring the old bells and putting four new ones on. So at Christmas Eve is our goal, to have the bells back and to be able to hear them tolling again. So Belfast begins Thursday. Richard Samuels, will you come forward, please? I want to introduce to you one of our parishioners who is amazingly courageous. Richard has decided, he has retired as a social worker, and what he's doing is he is traveling back and forth to Sierra Leone, where he brings food and clothing to orphans who have been orphaned by Ebola. Richard's goal is he's going to be leaving in November, and he would like to fill up a container with canned goods, non-perishable canned goods. So I call upon all of you fearlessly to go to your closets, pantries, pull out the canned goods and bring them back. This is a good and honest and faithful man who will make sure that they get to the children and the children get good food. And God bless you. God bless you. Remember to be generous with your church as our Lord has been so generous with us. And I think we need to move the wall away from it. Yeah, good. Thanks, guys.
Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, for through your Son, Jesus Christ, you have taught us to seek sacrifice and humility for the sake of your kingdom, where the last are first, where masters are servants, and where welcoming the least among us is a great act of service done for and to the Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover is sacrificed for us. The gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And the peace which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ.